Welcome to Zichu Dafsi Money Member by Ram Goldar and today Mazakas Baba Basra, Daf Nun Dal, the third parak, Chazkas Abatim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Shmuel taught four cases of Chazaka, which depend on whether one's intent was for the property's benefit. Number one, Haiman de Pashach Dikla, regarding one who removed branches from a palm tree. Adaita de Dikla Kane, if his intent was for the palm tree's benefit by pruning it, he acquires the tree. Adaita de Chavasa Lo Kane, if his intent was for animal food, he does not acquire it. His intent can be determined by seeing if he took branches from all the sides of the tree, pruning it properly, or from one side, and just for obtaining animal food. Number two, if one swept twigs from a field, then if he removed both large and small twigs, his intent was to clear the field for plowing and he acquires it. But if he took only large twigs, his intent was only to gather firewood. Number three, one who removes obstacles, holes, and mounds from a field, if he put mounds into holes, his intent was to level the ground for plowing and it's a chazaka. But if he just partially leveled the areas around mounds and holes, his intent was to prepare it as a temporary threshing floor. And number four, if one allowed water into a field, then if he made another opening to release the water, his intent is to catch fish. But if he only allowed water in, his intent is to water the field, and it's a chazaka. Point number two, the Gemara discusses Sadeh Musiemus b'mitzareha. Regarding a hefker field marked by its boundaries, Rav said, Kevin shehikish ba makosh echot kanakula. As soon as he digs once in the field, he acquires the entire field. Shmuel said, Ulkana el makom makosh b'avad. He only acquires the place of his digging. The Gemara asks, regarding a sadeh she'en musiemus b'mitzareha, a field which is not marked by its boundaries, how to acquire the entire field according to Rav? Well, Papa answers, k'da'azot yar d'shori v'hadar. When he plows as a yoke of oxen goes and returns, meaning two furrows in the field from one end to the other. On Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yochanan is quoted as saying, koshin nikras ha'shmo, as much of the field as is called by his name, referred to as his field rather than his fields. And point number three, Shmuel said, Nichzei over kochavim harin kamidbar. Properties of an idolater when being sold to a Jew are like a desert. Kol machzik behem zakh behem. Anyone who makes a chazaka in them acquires them for himself. He explained, over kochavim michimatim zuzin yadeh istalkalei. Regarding the idolater, as soon as the purchase money reaches his hand, he is removed from his ownership since money affects transactions for idolaters. Still, Yisrael Lokani Adimat Shtar Yade. The Jew who gave the money does not acquire the property until the shtar reaches his hand, as is the halacha in a city where shtar is usually written. Therefore, the land is left ownerless, like a desert, and available for anyone. Abai asked Rabbi Yosef that this seems to contradict Shmuel's own ruling that dina de malchus a dina, the law of the government, is binding law. Since the king decreed that land is only purchased with a document, it should remain in the idolater's possession until the shtar is received and transferred then to the Jewish buyer. Although Rav Yosef's recorded response is rejected, the Rashbam writes that Rav Yosef denies that the law requires a shtar to acquire land. So once again, the three points are number one. Shmuel taught four cases of chazaka, which depend on whether one's intent was for the property's benefit. Number one, Haiman de Pashach Dikla, regarding one who removed branches from a palm tree. Adaita de Dikla Kane, if his intent was for the palm tree's benefit by pruning it, he acquires the tree. Adaita de Chavasa Lo Kane, if his intent was for animal food, he does not acquire it. His intent can be determined by seeing if he took branches from all the sides of the tree, pruning it properly, or from one side, and just for obtaining animal food. Number two, if one swept twigs from a field, then if he removed both large and small twigs, his intent was to clear the field for plowing and he acquires it. But if he took only large twigs, his intent was only to gather firewood. Number three, one who removes obstacles, holes, and mounds from a field, if he put mounds into holes, his intent was to level the ground for plowing and it's a chazaka. But if he just partially leveled the areas around mounds and holes, his intent was to prepare it as a temporary threshing floor. And number four, if one allowed water into a field, then if he made another opening to release the water, his intent is to catch fish. But if he only allowed water in, his intent is to water the field, and it's a chazaka. Point number two, the Gemara discusses Sadeh Musiemus b'mitzareha. Regarding a hefker field marked by its boundaries, Rav said, Kevin shehikish ba makosh echot kanakula. As soon as he digs once in the field, he acquires the entire field. Shmuel said, Ulkana el makom makosh b'avad. He only acquires the place of his digging. The Gemara asks, regarding a sadeh she'en musiemus b'mitzareha, a field which is not marked by its boundaries, how to acquire the entire field according to Rav? Well, Papa answers, k'da'azot yar d'shori v'hadar. When he plows as a yoke of oxen goes and returns, meaning two furrows in the field from one end to the other. On Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yochanan is quoted as saying, koshin nikras ha'shmo, as much of the field as is called by his name, referred to as his field rather than his fields. And point number three, Shmuel said, Nichzei over kochavim harin kamidbar. Properties of an idolater when being sold to a Jew are like a desert. Kol machzik behem zoch behem. Anyone who makes a chazaka in them acquires them for himself. He explained, Ove kochavi michimatim zuzin yadei istalkele. Regarding the idolater, as soon as the purchase money reaches his hand, he is removed from his ownership since money affects transactions for idolaters. Still, Yisrael kani adimati shtar yadei. The Jew who gave the money does not acquire the property until the shtar reaches his hand, as is the halacha in a city where shtar is usually ridden. Therefore, the land is left ownerless, like a desert, and available for anyone. Abai asked Rav Yosef that this seems to contradict Shmuel's own ruling that dina de malchus dina, the law of the government, is binding law. Since the king decreed that land is only purchased with a document, it should remain in the idolater's possession until the shtar is received and transferred then to the Jewish buyer. Although Rav Yosef's recorded response is rejected, the Rashbam writes that Rav Yosef denies that the law requires a shtar to acquire land. All right, so now we get our siman daf nun dalet, and our standard siman is noodles. Noodles, and we often use a pasta chef in the siman. So here goes. The pasta chef who cut off the lame noodle-shaped branches from an apple tree in order to improve the tree and bikona it, and dug a little in the hefker field marked by a noodle boundary, acquiring the whole field, grabbed the land his Italian competitor was selling to a yid because it's as ownerless as a desert. So once again, in slow motion. The pasta chef who cut off the lame noodle-shaped branches. Pasta chef, noodles, that must more on dove. Nundalad. The pasta chef who cut off the lame noodle-shaped branches from an apple tree in order to improve the tree. And bikona it, which reminds us, Shmuel taught four cases of a chazak which depend on whether one's intent was for the property's benefit. The first case is regarding one who removed branches from a palm tree. A daita de dikla kanei, if his intent was for the palm tree's benefit, by pruning it, he acquires it. A daita de chavasa lo kanei, if his intent was for animal food, he doesn't acquire it. His intent can be determined by seeing if he took branches from all sides of the tree, pruning it properly, or from one side, and just for obtaining animal food. So the pasta chef who cut off the lame noodle-shaped branches from an apple tree in order to improve the tree, and bikona it, and dug a little in the hefker field marked by a noodle boundary, acquiring the whole field, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses sadeh ha-musiyemus b'mitzareha. Regarding a hefker field marked by its boundaries, Rav said as soon as he digs once in the field, he acquires the entire field. Shmuel said he only acquires the place of his digging. So the pasta chef who cut off the lame noodle-shaped branches from an apple tree in order to improve the tree, and bikona it, and dug a little in the hefker field marked by a noodle boundary, acquiring the whole field, grabbed the land his Italian competitor was selling to a yid because it's as ownerless as a desert, which reminds us, Shmuel said, Nekse ovu kochavim harayin kamidbar, properties of an idolater, when being sold to a Jew, are like a desert. Anyone who makes a chazaka in them acquires them for himself. He explained that regarding the idolater, as soon as the purchase money reaches his hand, he's removed from his ownership since money affects transactions for idolaters. Still, the Jew who gave the money doesn't acquire the property until the shtar reaches his hand, as is the halacha in a city where shtar is usually written. Therefore, the land is left ownerless, like a desert, and available for anyone. So once again, the pasta chef who cut off the lame noodle-shaped branches from an apple tree in order to improve the tree, and bikona it, and dug a little in the hefker field marked by a noodle boundary, acquiring the whole field, grabbed the land his Italian competitor was selling to a yid because it's as ownerless as a desert. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf nun. So the simon daf nun is a non-stop flight. So here goes. The husband and wife on a non-stop flight. Non-stop flight? That must be around daf nun. The husband and wife on the non-stop flight looking at a picture of a nixim elug that neither could sell, which reminds us. The Gemara said that a woman can sell her nixim elug to her husband. This is challenged from a Maimar's ruling. Ish vi isha shemachu b'nixim elug, a husband and wife who sold nixim elug, lost b'lo klum. They have done nothing and the sale is void. He holds neither has sufficient ownership to affect a sale. She owns the land itself and he owns its produce. So the husband and wife on the non-stop flight looking at a picture of her nixim elug that neither could sell. We're sitting behind the former and current owner of a slave who neither was subject to the din of Yom O Yomayim since the former owner still retained the slave's work for 30 days, which reminds us. A brisa discusses one who sells the slaves but retains the slave's work for 30 days and brings a three-way machlokes regarding who has the rule of Yom O Yomayim, exempting the owner if the eved dies after 24 hours. Rabbi Elazar says that neither has the Yom O Yomayim exemption. Zeh lefi she'eino takta v'zeh lefi she'eino kaspo, the buyer, because the slave is not under his domain, and the seller because he is not his property. Rabbi Elazar requires kaspo ha'miyuchad lo, property exclusively his. So the husband and wife on the non-stop flight looking at the picture of her nixim elug that neither could sell were sitting behind the former and current owner of a slave who neither were subject to the din of Yom O Yomayim since the former owner still retained the slave's work for 30 days. Overheard a wife tell the woman sitting next to her that she was on her way to make a macha against her husband, establishing a chazak on her nixim elug, and dug ditches in her cherished rose bushes, which reminds us, a husband can establish a chazak in his wife's property which he damages, such as by digging ditches, and therefore the wife needs to protest. Daf Nun Aleph. So the Simran Daf Nun Aleph is a beaver because beavers gnaw. Nun Aleph. Gnaw. So here goes. The man who sold a field to his wife to get her to reveal money she was hiding in a beaver's dam. Beaver? That must be on Daf Nun Aleph. Gnaw. The man who sold the field to his wife to get her to reveal money she was hiding in a beaver's dam, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses if a man who sells property to his wife can claim he was trying to uncover money of his which she had hidden from him and did not intend to sell her the property. So the man who sold the field to his wife to get her to reveal money she was hiding in a beaver's dam knew that she wouldn't acquire it with the star of sale written on beaver hide parchment, which reminds us, a star of sale does not acquire property until money is given. Although a brisa teaches, if a shtar states, Sadi mechurulach, my field is hereby sold to you, or Sadi nesunulach, my field is hereby given to you, harizim mechur of a nesuna, it is sold or given, apparently proving that a shtar of sale does transfer property. Rav Hamnun explained it refers to mocher sadeu mipnei rasa, one selling his field because of its poor quality, who wants to finalize the sale immediately. So the man who sold a field to his wife to get her to reveal money she was hiding in a beaver's dam knew that she wouldn't acquire with the star of sale written on beaver hide parchment and grabbed his beaver hide sack to gather peros from another field he sold her because it was a sale, not a gift. Which reminds us, Rav Huna bar Avin sent the following message. Hamocha sadeh l'ishto, if one sells his field to his wife, kansu ubal ochel peros, she acquires it and the husband receives its produce like any property she acquires from elsewhere. However, Rabbi Abba, and all the Gedolei HaDor said, he does not receive its produce. But matana b'kishlit noah, he actually wanted to give it to her as a gift from which a husband does not receive produce since it's given generously. And the reason he wrote the shtar as if it was a sale was kedei l'yapos his kocha, to enhance her rights, entitling her to compensation if the land is collected by the husband's lender. Daf Nun Beis. So the Simran Daf Nun Beis is a newbie to Yiddishkeit. So here goes. The newbie to Yiddishkeit. Newbie to Yiddishkeit? That must mean we're on Daf Nun Beis. The newbie to Yiddishkeit who mistakenly accepted a pikadon from a child, which reminds us, a brisa teaches that one may not accept the pikadon from married women, from slaves, or from children because we suspect they may have stolen the money from their husband, the master, or home, respectively, and accepting the pikadon assists their thievery. If one did accept a pikadon from a woman or a slave, it should be returned to them since they may own it. If one accepted a pikadon from a child, yasul segula, he should set up a trust for him, meaning he shouldn't return it since the child cannot responsibly safeguard it. The Gemara defines a trust as a sefer Torah to learn from, or a palm tree which will yield fruit for him while the principle remains. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit who mistakenly accepted a pikadon from a child, whose brothers were fighting with their oldest brother managing their father's estate, who presented shtaros bearing his name, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses a brother who is managing the father's estate on behalf of all the brothers. But Yo'onos Ushtaros Yotzin al Shmo, and documents of sales and loans appear in the brother's name, and he claims they are from money he inherited independently from his maternal grandfather. Rav says, Alav Lahavi Raya, it's incumbent upon him, the managing brother, to prove the shtaros refer to his personal assets because his name may have been written simply because he managed the estate. Shmuel says, Alachin Lahavi Raya, it's incumbent upon the brothers to prove the shtaros are from the father's estate. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit who mistakenly accepted pikadon from a child, whose brothers were fighting with their oldest brother managing their father's estate, who presented shtaros bearing his name, was on his way to Opan to learn how to say, Lech Chazek Ukni, to buy our property, if a king is not made in his presence, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Membeis Amud Aleph stated that the laws of a three-year chazaka only apply to a dispute over ownership, but where one is acquiring a property such as a gift, brothers dividing an estate, or the hefker estate of a ger who died, he acquires it by locking, fencing, or breaching its enclosure. Rava clarifies, Befanav, if the acquisition was made in his presence, the seller does not need to tell the buyer, Lech Chazek Ukni, go make a chazaka, and thereby acquire, because his silence indicates his consent to the kinyan. Shalo Befanav, if the kinyan was not made in his presence, he must tell him beforehand, Lech Chazek Ukni, go make a chazaka, and acquire it. Daf Nun Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Nun Gimel is a Nigerian prince. So here goes. The Nigerian prince, that must mean we're on Daf Nun Gimel. The Nigerian prince who sent a servant to acquire a chatzar by placing a stone in the wall, locking in the irrigation, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said, Nasan Tzvor V'Hoyel, if one places a stone and benefited the property with it, Natal Tzvor V'Hoyel, or removed a stone and benefited the property, Harizu Chazaka, this is considered a Chazaka to acquire it. The Gemara clarifies that in the first case, he placed a stone, the Tzamar Lamaya, where he sealed water inside the field to water it and prevent it from draining. And in the second case, removed a stone and increased the water flowing into the field. So the Nigerian prince who sent a servant to acquire chatzah by placing a stone in the wall, locking in the irrigation, and sent another to acquire two fields with a raised boundary in between by making one kinyan on them all, which reminds us, regarding two hefker fields with one boundary, meaning a raised strip of land between them, Rabbi Zera asks, what is the halacha if one intended to acquire both fields and the boundary with one act of chazaka? Do we say the boundary of each land is one, and he acquires all of them where he intends to do so? Or do we say the boundary stands alone, and the field stands alone, meaning that since the boundary is of a higher elevation, it is a separate land, and they cannot be acquired together? The question is left unresolved. So the Nigerian prince who sent his servant to acquire chatzah by placing a stone in the wall, locking in the irrigation, and sent another to acquire two fields with a raised boundary in between by making one kinyan on them all, was shocked to find the palace he built on the next day a ger who died went to the guy who came along and installed a door, which reminds us, the Gemara considers various acts regarding acquiring property from Hefker. Rabbi Bar Avoha said, Habona paltrin gadoin benichse ager. If one builds a large mansion on the property of a ger who died, and another comes and installs a door on it, gana, the second person acquires a property. The one who built the mansion does not acquire it because he merely arranged bricks on the property, since people can enter just as easily as before. By installing doors, the second person exercised control over the property. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do you discuss whether a husband can claim he sold his wife's property to see if she was hiding money she took from him? That's on duff. No, no. Number two, which stuff do we discuss if a forced sale of a specific field is a valid sale? That's on duff. Memchas. Good. Number three, which thing, if one's intent was for a palm tree's benefit by pruning it, he acquires a tree? That's on duff. Nundalad. Good. Number four, which stuff do you discuss acquiring property by placing or removing a stone of a wall? That's on duff. Nun Gimel. Good. Number five, which of the when the properties of an idolater when being sold to a Jew are like a midbar? That's on duff. Nun Dalad. Good. Number six, which stuff do you have a case where a brother managing the inherited estate presents shtaros bearing his own name? That's on duff. Nun Beis. Good. Number seven, which of them, when a shtar of sale does not acquire until money is given, unless the seller want to close the sale immediately because he was selling poor land? That's on duff. No, no. Number five, which of them, when a husband can establish a chazak in his wife's property which he damages? That's on duff. None. Good. Number nine, which duff do you discuss how much of a hefker field is acquired through plowing part of it? That's on duff. Nun Dalad. Good. And number 10, which stuff do you want a person can say, Iepshi, but Tekanos Chachamim, I don't want this rabbinic enactment made for my benefit? That's on duff. Memtes. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zurich, wishing you a great day and great learning.